Adults, please pick up your Bible. And boys and girls, the reading will appear on the screen. We're going to read this morning from Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, you'll find that on page 1112 in the church Bible. Acts chapter 16, and we're reading from verse 16 down to verse 34. Listen to the story that's here for us to learn from. And Dr. Luke is telling the story, and he says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High, who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself! We're all here!' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family." This is the word of God. Adults, I'd be really grateful if you'd open your Bible again at Acts 16. And boys and girls, will you sit up straight, all right? And I want you to listen up as well with your ears as we learn together from the part of the Bible we read a moment ago. Now, as we start, I want to ask you something. I want you to ask you what that is. What's that? A question mark. Thank you, James. That's great. Put up your hand next time and that'll be even more helpful. A question mark. Now, when do you get a question mark? I know that's a silly question, but when do you get a question mark? Yes. At the end of a question. And if you think about it, isn't life full of questions? There are questions that we ask other people and there are questions that other people ask us. So, for example, I wonder what questions you've already been asked this morning, or have asked. So, has anyone been asked this morning, what would you like for breakfast? Anyone been asked that question? Oh, some of you had, that's good. I would have said bacon and egg, but no one gave me bacon and egg. No one asked me the question. Did anyone ask this morning, did anyone go to mum and dad or ask this morning, is it time to get up yet? Ah, Matt did, right, okay. Now, here's a good one, all right. This is something I hope you have all asked this morning. Has anyone gone to mum this morning and said, Mum, is there anything I can do to help you before we go to church? Oh, someone has, that's good. I want to ask you this morning, all right, sit up and listen up. I want to ask you this morning to think about the most important question that anyone can ever ask. We read it in the Bible, and it was asked by this man. Now, this man was the jailer of the Roman prison in a place called Philippi. That prison must have been a pretty stinky, horrible place. And it was the middle of the night when he asked his question. There had just been a violent earthquake. Everything had shaken and it had woken him up. And he was terrified. And falling to his knees, he asked this question. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, it was a very personal question. Look what he says. He says, what must I do to be saved? It was also a very urgent question, because when someone needs to be saved from something, it's because there's some great danger that they're in danger from. Now, when you ask a question, what do you want? When you ask a question, what do you want? Yes, Rachel? You want an answer. That's right. And this terrified Roman jailer, he got the answer from two of his prisoners. Their names were Paul and Silas. They were name carriers, people who told other people about our Lord Jesus. And the answer that they gave to the question, what must I do to be saved, was this. It was, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Now, notice, please, that it's a very clear and simple answer. They were saying to this jailer, if you want to be saved, all you've got to do is believe in the Lord Jesus. And it was a certain answer, because they said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Now, before we go any further, I want you to learn this question and answer. Will you do that with me? Will you help me? All right, so here's what we're going to do. When I say, what must I do to be saved, all right? I want you to say nice and loud, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will. And I want you to do that. Will you do that? Okay. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. All right. So you ready? All right. So when I say, what must I do to be saved? Okay. Ready. What must I do to be saved? Okay, I think we could try that again. What must I do to be saved? And you see, the most personal, urgent question that anyone in the world can ever ask is, what must I do to be saved? Thank you, Linda. Come on. And that is the clear and certain answer that everybody needs to hear. Now, to help us really understand what it means to be saved, I've brought a friend along this morning. Now, this friend is no stranger to Enfield Evangelical Free Church, but she hasn't been here for a while because she went on the church plant to Bushill Park. So she's a bit shy because there aren't as many people at Bushill Park as there are here. Would you like to see Sally? Are you sure you'd like to see Sally? Yeah. All right, Sally, would you come out? Are you going to come out? Sally, are you shy? Oh, come on, please. Would you shout to her that you want to come out? Will you come out, Sally?
Come out, Sally.
Okay, okay. It's all right, Sally. Don't be shy. They're friends. Will you turn around and say hello to them? She's a bit shy, isn't she? Will you say hello, Sally, and maybe she'll say hello back? Will you say hello, Sally?
Hello, Sally.
She she says hello back, all right? Now, Sally, you're here today because there's something really exciting that happened to you this week. Is that right? Oh, it wasn't something exciting. It was something very frightening. So, Sally, what happened to you? It was on Wednesday, and you were in your room. What were you doing in your room? Oh, you were listening to music. Okay. And what happened? Oh, the smoke alarm went off. Did you hear the smoke alarm? Why didn't you hear the smoke alarm? Oh, she had her headphones on. She was listening to Colin Buchanan, that Australian bloke. All right. So Sally, how did you know there was a fire? Oh, you smelt the smoke. What did you do? Oh, you opened your bedroom door and you looked out, yeah? And what did you see? You saw smoke coming up the stairs. What did you do? You ran into your room and you shut the door. That was a good thing to do. Then what did you do? You phoned Tom Cascarino. Cascarina. Sorry, Tom. Is that what you did? Now, what did you say to Tom on the phone? You said, can you come over and help me? Yeah, is that right? Okay. What did Tom say? He said he'd come. Good man, Tom. You're a good man. Okay, so Tom arrived, and Tom, where was he? He was outside your window, okay? And what did you say to Tom, Sally? You said, Tom, what must I do to be saved? And what did Tom say, Sally? He said, jump and I'll catch you. Were you afraid? Was it a long way up? Did you jump? Did he catch you? She says Tom's a hero and she loves him. Why do you love Tom, Sally? Because he saved her. Oh, isn't that nice? And we all say goodbye to Sally.
Bye.
And a special goodbye to Tom. Now, you've got the story. Sally needed to be... She needed to be saved from burning in that fire, didn't she? And Tom saved her, didn't he? When she said to Tom, what must I do to be saved? Tom said, what? Jump and I'll... Now, the Bible says that all of us need to be saved because we are in great, great danger. We're not in danger from a house fire, but we're in danger from the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Do you ever get punished? Anyone here ever get punished by mum and dad? I wonder how you get punished. Do you get told to sit in the naughty step? That happened to anybody? Yeah, I think a lot of homes have naughty steps. Does anyone ever get sent to their bedroom? Anyone ever told no TV or DS for the rest of the day? Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Does anyone get no sweets or crisps today? So there's things we get punished for. Now, what do you get punished for? Anyone going to own up? Yes, Aidan? Pardon? Hurting your brother. You get punished for hurting your brother. Anyone else get punished for things? Ethan? Kicking the wall and making it fall down. That would certainly merit big punishment. The Bible tells us that we are all in big trouble of big punishment. Because of our sin. Because of our refusal to do what God wants us to do. And our doing of things that God says we shouldn't do. And the punishment we deserve is a punishment that goes on forever and forever. But as Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, There is a way to be saved from the punishment for our sins. What is the way to be saved from the punishment for our sins? So just as Sally believed that Tom was strong enough to catch her when she jumped out of the window, so if we believe in the Lord Jesus, he will save us. And why can we be sure that the Lord Jesus will save us? Well, we can be sure because he died on the cross to save us. I read a story recently, and it was about an Indian camp. And over a number of months, chickens were being stolen from this Indian camp at night. And the chief of this Indian camp, he announced that the thief, when the thief was caught, would be whipped with 50 lashes of a whip. Now, one night, the thief was caught. He was caught red-handed stealing some chickens. He was taken in the dark to the chief's tent, and the sentence was passed by the chief. 50 lashes for this man. It was a dark night, and the thief had his clothes all wrapped round him, so no one could see who it really was. And it was only when they were tying him to the stake, where he was going to be whipped, that in the light of the fire it was revealed who the thief was. It was the chief's son. Everyone looked at the chief. What was the chief going to do? The chief had given his word. The thief must be punished with how many lashes? 50 lashes. And the whipping was about to begin when, to everyone's surprise and amazement, the chief did an amazing thing. He stepped forward. And he wrapped his body round his son's body so that as the whipping started, the whip didn't hit his son, but hit him instead. What was he doing? He was saving his son, who deserved to be punished, from the punishment he deserved. Now, no story gets it perfectly right. But it was a bit like that when our Lord Jesus died on the cross. How is Jesus able to save us from the punishment that our sins deserve? Because on the cross, he took the punishment I deserve for all my sins to save me from that punishment. What must I do to be saved? And it's certain only because the Lord Jesus died on the cross, taking the punishment sin deserves. And that means that this morning, there are only two kinds of people in the world. There are unsaved people and there are saved people. It means that in church this morning, there are only two kinds of people in church. There are unsaved people and saved people. It means in your class at school, or in the office, or in our street, or wherever it is we go day by day, there are only two kinds of people. There are unsaved and there are saved. And that story we read, it tells us three things about people who get saved. The first is this. God acts to make unsaved people ask the question, what must I do to be saved? You see, that was true of the jailer, wasn't it? I want you to think about this jailer. The night that he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? Do you know what he was doing? He was just doing what he did every single day of his life. He was doing what he was told to do. He was doing his job. And Paul and Silas, these name carriers, they'd gone to Philippi. They were telling people how to be saved. And they'd been thrown into prison. And the jailer was told that he was to guard them really, really carefully. So do you know what he did? He made sure he put them to the inner cell. It was probably a cell underground. It was probably the stinkiest cell in the whole prison. And then we're told that he put Paul and Silas's feet in stocks, so they couldn't move at all. So there was no way they could escape. And then God did something. Do you remember what God did? What did God do in the middle of the night at about midnight? What did God do? Yes, Noah. Oh, he did say, but what did he do? What did he do? James? No. Ben? He sent an earthquake. Now, we've been seeing pictures, haven't we, on the television this week of that horrible earthquake in Japan when everything shook. And that's what it was like in Philippi prison that night. Everything shook. The foundations of the prison shook. And the chains that are holding the prisoners in place shook. And the stocks that were on the prisoners' feet, they came off. And seeing the prison doors open, oh, don't worry about that. Seeing the prison doors open, the jailer then drew his sword. And he was about to kill himself because he thought all his prisoners were running away. But Paul shouted out, no, don't kill yourself, we're all here. And it was then that the jailer called for lights. And he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And what did he say? He said, what must I do to be saved? You see, God was using that earthquake to make the jailer ask the question. And God still uses things to get people's attention. Mostly it's through the Bible, his words. So on occasions like this, God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in our lives. He shows us that we're in danger because of our sin and the punishment our sins deserve. And he makes us cry out, what must I do to be saved? Not that person, not that person. What must I do to be saved? Because I need to be saved from the danger I'm in. But God can also use frightening circumstances. I read a book. And it included the story of a man called General Sir Richard Dannett. And General Sir Richard Dannett, until recently, was the head of the British Army. He was a soldier. And he had told how at age 26, he had a serious road accident that he was saved from. He also was seriously ill and in hospital and could have died. And he says that God used those things to turn into the Lord Jesus. Those frightening things to wake him up so that he asked, what must I do to be saved? So God acts to make unsaved people ask, what must I do to be saved? But here's something else. God puts saved people in the right place at the right time to answer. What's the answer to the question?
Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved.
You see, Paul and Silas, they were saved people. And the reason they'd gone to Philippi was to tell people in Philippi, there is a way you can be saved. But some of those who heard them tell people about Jesus, they didn't like it. And they did all sorts of horrible things to them. Do you want to know the horrible things they did? They seized them. And then they dragged them to the marketplace. And they stripped them of their clothes. So they took all their clothes off. And then they were beaten. And they were flogged. That means they were whipped like the man was in the story. And then they were thrown into prison. And they had those stocks put on their feet. And you would have thought that Paul and Silas would have been pretty miserable in jail, wouldn't you? How do you think they'd have looked? Come on, look miserable. Look miserable. You look miserable? Well, actually, they weren't miserable. Do you know what they were doing at midnight? They were praying and they were singing hymns to God and all the other prisoners were listening. Now, exactly what they were praying or singing, we don't know. Perhaps they were singing, I know that my Redeemer lives, I know that my... Maybe. Perhaps they were praying, Lord Jesus, you must have some reason why we're in this prison. And then the ground started to shake. And the earthquake came, and their chains fell off, and the stocks fell off, and the jailer came in and fell trembling before them and said, and I can imagine Silas nudging Paul and saying, hey, Paul, do you think this is why we're here? Do Do you think this is why we were seized? And why we were dragged? And why we were stripped? And why we were beaten? And why we were flogged? And why we're in the stocks? Do you think this is why we're here? Because the Lord Jesus wants this man to ask this question so we can give him this answer, the best answer in the world, which is? And you see, God still does that today. I have a friend. He's a friend who loves the Lord. I have more than one friend, by the way. But I have a saved friend. He loves the Lord Jesus. Before he was saved, this friend was in hospital in Enfield, and he was seriously ill. And a member of this church ended up in the hospital bed next to him. And one day, someone from this church went to visit the member of this church who was in hospital. And they read the Bible with him and they prayed with him. And at the end of the prayer in which he prayed, my friend who wasn't a Christian then said, Amen. And the person of this church went over to them and started to talk to them about Jesus. And that person in hospital stopped being an unsaved person and became a saved person. God had put him in that hospital and put the member of this church in that hospital so that that man would believe in the Lord Jesus. I read a book some time ago about China and about a man who became a Christian in China. And in this man called Brother Yun, he ended up in prison. So it's very like the story we read in Acts. He ended up in prison because he loved the Lord Jesus and was telling people the way to be saved. And because the prison authorities didn't like him at all, they decided to put him in the worst of the cells. And the worst of criminals were in the worst of the cells. And so he was in this cell with all these really violent men. And you know what happened? All the men in the cell became Christians. In fact, one of them, the worst of the men, the leader of the men, it actually says he fell on his knees in front of Brother Yun and he said, what must I do to be saved? And what do you think Brother Yun said? He said,
believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved.
God put saved people at school where there are lots of unsaved people. God put saved people in streets where there are lots of unsaved people. God puts saved people in offices and in shops and in queues and in coffee shops and on trains and in colleges. So that when people say, what must I do to be saved? They can say, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And one last thing. Believing in the Lord Jesus brings change and joy. You see, when Paul and Silas had been thrown into the prison, that jailer, he hadn't been concerned about their wounds and their bruises. They were probably covered in blood. They were probably black and blue. They were aching all over. They had no clothes on. Pretty horrible. But having come to believe in the Lord Jesus, everything changed. Right then, in the middle of the night, the jailer took Paul and Silas and he washed their wounds. And then immediately he and his family, who had also believed in the Lord Jesus, they were baptized, showing that they believed in the Lord Jesus. And then the jailer brought Paul and Silas into his home and he gave them a meal. And we read that he was no longer terrified. And I'm not sure this picture is showing it very well. But he was full of joy. That's supposed to be in full of joy. But he was full of joy, we're told, because he'd come to believe in God. Because he'd come to believe in the Lord Jesus. Do you remember what Sally felt about Tom because he saved her? What did Sally feel about Tom? Yes, Ben. He was her hero. She loves Tom. But you all love Tom, don't you? But you see, everyone who has been saved by the Lord Jesus, who understands that when he died on the cross, he died to take the punishment their sins deserve. The Bible says that that is what gives us the greatest joy. the joy that we've been saved by Jesus. So let's check you've listened carefully, all right? The most urgent and personal question in the world is, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is? So you see, the answer isn't try harder to be good. The answer isn't do lots of good things. The answer isn't even come to church and read your Bible and pray. The answer is simple and certain. It's believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust the Lord Jesus. And you will, absolutely, James. You see, it doesn't say, and you might be saved. It doesn't say, well, maybe you'll be saved, but you can't be sure. It says you will be saved. So can I ask you, have you believed in the Lord Jesus personally yet? I'm not asking if mum and dad believe in the Lord Jesus. I'm asking if you believe in the Lord Jesus. And adults as well, have you believed in the Lord Jesus? Perhaps God brought you here to this church today so that you would ask, what must I do to be saved? Perhaps even the events in Japan have made you think about that question. I have a friend, another friend, called Callum, Big Callum. During the first Iraq war, he saw the pictures of that war on the television and he was petrified. And so he turned up at a church, the church I belong to, and he was saying, what must I do to be saved? And someone was able to tell him, you just need to believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You could believe in the Lord Jesus right now. You could say something like, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe in you as the Savior who died in the place of sinners. Please save me. If you say that to him, he'll save you. And what if you're already saved this morning? Well, thank God. And are you asking God to put you in places where people will ask you, what must I do to be saved? So you can give the most wonderful answer in the world, which is? Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. I'm going to pray that short prayer. And if tonight, this morning, you're saying, I need to be saved, why not make this little prayer your own, whatever age you are? Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I need to be saved. Lord Jesus, I believe in you as the Savior who died in the place of sinners. Please save me. Amen.